Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we wrap up our look at an article that was in the March 2024 edition of the Liahona magazine. It was written by Garrett Dirkmott, who is the Associate Professor of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University, and his article was titled The Miraculous Translation of the Book of Mormon. Basically, what he is doing in this article is, I guess you could say, celebrating the fact that Joseph Smith used either seer stones or a seer stone to produce the Book of Mormon. He didn't need to really look at gold plates. All he needed was his rocks, and if they were placed into a dark enough hat, he could read characters off those stones from the Reformed Egyptian into English. Many Latter-day Saints don't have a problem with that nowadays, even though during this week we showed that wasn't always the case. For instance, Eric read a citation from Joseph Fielding Smith yesterday. Smith would become the 10th president of the church, and he didn't buy into the story that Joseph Smith used the seer stone to translate the Book of Mormon, although he did admit he used it for other purposes, purposes that he didn't mention, which we could probably mention for you. He was using that rock to try to find buried treasure for what I believe to be gullible farmers that lived in the area where he was living at the time. On page U5 of this article, the question is asked, what did Joseph Smith say about the translation process? Mr. Dirkmott says Joseph Smith did not publicly provide a detailed explanation of the miraculous translation. He consistently said that he translated the record by the gift and power of God, and also noted that he translated through the medium of the Urim and Thummim. And Eric, you had mentioned earlier in the week that it gets a bit confusing with all these terms, especially since Joseph Smith himself calls the stones that were buried with the plates spectacles, but then later, according to the article, he takes the biblical term for the sacred instruments, Urim and Thummim, and applies that term to the spectacles.
Well, to provide even more confusion, if you go to the Gospel Topic essay, Book of Mormon translation, that's found on thechurchofjesuschrist.org, this is what it says. Nevertheless, the scribes and others who observed the translation left numerous accounts that give insight into the process. Some accounts indicate that Joseph studied the characters on the plates. Most of the accounts speak of Joseph's use of the Urim and Thummim, either the interpreters, the spectacles, or the seer stone, and many accounts refer to his use of a single stone. It goes on and says, according to these accounts, Joseph placed either the interpreters or the seer stone in a hat, pressed his face into the hat to block out extraneous light, and read aloud the English words that appeared on the instrument. This process as described brings to mind a passage from the Book of Mormon that speaks of God preparing, quote, a stone which shall shine forth in the darkness unto light, end quote.
Well, this article goes on to say that Emma Smith, the prophet's wife and primary early scribe, related that Joseph used two different instruments to translate. Now, this is probably where this Gospel Topics essay gets this information. The first, this article says, was the device containing two stones found with the plates, and the second was a single stone that was a dark color. This stone is in the possession of the First Presidency, and an image of it was first published in the Liahona and Ensign magazines in 2015. Now, we were talking about the fact that if you go to downtown Salt Lake City, across the street from Temple Square, you go into the LDS History Museum, they talk about this seer stone, and they have a photograph of it. And I've often wondered, this is a museum. This is where you're supposed to have artifacts. Why is it that the church doesn't display the seer stone that Joseph Smith had, and according to Wilford Woodruff, carried with him for the rest of his life? Why do they just have a photograph? Furthermore, we learn from this that they do, in fact, have the seer stone in the church's possession. The question that we raise is, if a president of the church is a prophet, seer, and revelator, can we assume correctly that a prophet, seer, and revelator, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, at least, has the ability to translate just like Joseph Smith supposedly had the ability to translate? If so, why doesn't the president of the church, since they have the stone in their possession, use it to produce new translations of the Book of Mormon?
Well, perhaps these leaders are what you might call dispensationalists, that maybe that miracle only happened in that time, and they have to rely on the translators to be able to do the work. I mean, I'm looking at the bottom of page U5, and they say, by the gift and power of God, Joseph Smith translated almost 600 pages in about 60 working days. The average modern translation time is 5 years. I read an article from 1995. They said at that time it was only taking 4 years. With all the technology we have, it's now taking an extra year. It takes 5 years. I'm looking at an article called The Translation Miracle of the Book of Mormon by a 70, Robert K. Dellenbach, and this is in the April 1995 Ensign magazine, and this is how he explains translation is happening today. The Book of Mormon is presently in print in over 80 languages. This magazine says 92 now in 2024, and is now being translated or prepared for publication in many, many more. Consider the church's current process of translating the Book of Mormon from English into another language. The church contracts capable, experienced member translators who are fluent in English, as well as their native tongue, who possess integrity and high moral character, so that the spirit of inspiration will guide their work. Just as in Joseph Smith's day, the ability to translate Holy Writ today is a spiritual gift from God. But Bill, I don't think this is a spiritual gift from God. This is a process of translation, getting these capable translators who are then going to take the words from English and move it into the language of their native language is not a spiritual gift. That's just a gift that they've been given because they know how to translate. So I think you're bringing out a good question. Why don't the leaders today take this stone, which they have possession of, why don't they set up their general authorities, who are all called prophets, seers, and revelators, and take that stone in a hat and go ahead and get the translation done in 60 working days, as Joseph Smith did back in the time that he was doing his translation?
Think of all the tithe money given by members to the church. Think of all the tithe money that they could save if the president really did have that ability and would incorporate that ability. It seems like millions of dollars would be saved. They could be used for other things, but yet no, they're paying for individuals to do this. Now, what you just described to me, Eric, to me is kind of fascinating, because if in fact the church is hiring what they call experts in all these languages to bring forth these new translations, then couldn't we honestly say that because humans are involved, that you probably should only believe those translations as far as they are translated correctly? Which, of course, is what the church says about our Bibles today. It's interesting because the only translation that the Mormon church has is the English translation that was supposedly translated by the gift and power of God. These other translations aren't. In fact, there's been some translations that had to be revised over the years, so there were mistakes. Gee, kind of like the English translation. The English translation of the Book of Mormon that Latter-day Saints have today does not read in every respect like the 1830 edition, which we assume was translated directly from one of the seer stones, either the spectacles or interpreters, or the other dark stone that Joseph Smith found while digging a well with his brother. In other words, there's questions about both. And what's kind of hypocritical of Latter-day Saints is they will look at Christians who say, we believe the Bible as it came down through the original authors. We believe that was in fact inspired. There's no promise in the Bible that our handwritten copies were going to be protected in the same manner, although we do have a means through textual criticism of determining what the original said. But Mormons often mock that concept, and they look at theirs and say, well, ours we know is translated by the gift and power of God. Well, at best, only the English. The Russian wasn't done that way. The Cambodian translation wasn't done that way. An African translation obviously wasn't done that way. So you would have to say you can only believe those translations of the Book of Mormon as far as they are translated correctly.
I want to go to the last paragraph because this is an article titled The Miraculous Translation of the Book of Mormon. It should be giving us exactly how this was translated, but look how it finishes. This article finishes by saying, while we may not fully understand how the miracle of translation occurred, what matters most is that it resulted in the Book of Mormon. Bill, that sentence doesn't give me a lot of confidence. I mean, you're not quite sure how this translation took place? And then a citation from President Russell M. Nelson, 17th president of the church. He said, the great worth of the Book of Mormon lies not in its miraculous translation, wondrous as it was, nor in its stories that we read to our children. The great worth of the Book of Mormon is that it is another testament of Jesus Christ. And here's where I think he gets it wrong, because I don't think there's great worth in the Book of Mormon if it's not a historical book, a book that can be shown through archaeology, that this book is not talking about, as we say the Bible has, real people, real places, and real events. We have none of that to go with this, so I'm very suspicious about the Book of Mormon.
But you notice what Nelson does there. Oh, it gets people close to the Savior. Do you know, you can have non-scriptural books that have been used by God to bring people closer to the Savior. I mean, there's a lot of historical works that people can say, boy, that really had an effect on my life and really brought me close to Jesus. But we would never need to say this is scripture, but it still had the same kind of effect. Our argument is they always want to point to the Book of Mormon as having the means of doing that when the Bible does that as well. But they tend to ignore the Bible. In fact, many times, whenever there's a verse out of the Book of Mormon that you know Joseph Smith plagiarized from the Bible, how often do they always quote the Book of Mormon instead of the Bible? Why? Because they have to give credibility to Joseph Smith. And that's what's sad. Just because a book may talk about Jesus and may even get you close to Jesus by reading some of the things in that book does not necessarily mean that that book is scripture. So I think you make a good point. Unlike the Bible, it is not a book of real people, real places, and real events.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.